Hello there! This show contains material which a truly free society would neither fear nor suppress. The language and concepts contained herein will not cause eternal torment in the place where the guy with the horns and pointed stick conducts his business.
Hello.
Hello.
This is the second show of the new year.
Yeah.
2006.
Yep. I've grown a year older myself, actually.
And you look it, though.
Yeah, I've been...
You don't look a day over 50. That's what I've always admired about you.
And I'm not a day over 50.
I walked up to John's door today and started laughing out loud. Why, you ask? Because he came to the door in a ratty old-looking Star Wars shirt, like a real old-school sci-fi geek who's had that shirt since day one and maybe hasn't taken it off.
Oh, and it smells that way. No, it's a brand new shirt. I got it for Christmas. My wife gave it to me because I'm a kind of geek, and she likes to give me geeky gifts.
John's actually wearing a shirt that says geek on our website in one of the photos.
That's right. Yeah, that one I got from work.
Did you? Oh, yeah, the Microsoft Geek shirt.
Yeah, it's a Microsoft Geek shirt.
So I'm going to continue my little rant from last week about the MWPAI.org. Munson Williams Proctor Arts Institute. Went to see a great jazz show last night. Phenomenal. I love the Munstitute, as we call it, but I have this little bitch about their policy about not selling tickets to the concerts in the court, which is what I went to see last night. Kenny Garrett, awesome sax player, awesome show. You know, a jazz show is great, by the way, when... two or three people leave after the first song because it's really, really, you know, improvised, very unstructured jazz. And they're like, this isn't Kenny G.
Yeah.
So anyway, I'm going to ask all of our listeners today to help me change the Munstitute's policy about not selling tickets to concerts in the court any other days except like Monday through Friday, 10 to 4, whenever the heck they sell them.
Yeah, we're asking all of our international listeners.
You don't have to tell them that.
Send emails.
That's right. Send emails to a guy named Bob Mortis, and it's either B-M-O-R-T-I-S at MWPAI.org or R-M-O-R-T-I-S at MWPAI.org. So just put a comma and send it to both. One of them's going to bounce because I don't know if he goes by Rob or Bob and on his official email. And let's talk about getting that ticket selling policy changed. You know, ask him questions like, hey, how come you can't sell me a ticket to concerts in the court when I go to the movies on Wednesdays or Friday nights? And I want to hammer this guy with email and get the policy changed.
Will they never learn?
No, you know, I want to abuse the power. The power that I wield here is being abused right now. And I'm asking you all to help me. And you don't have to tell them you're from Australia, Martin, or from wherever you are, whatever UFO you're currently on, Kirsten. But, you know, you don't have to tell them that. But let's get this policy changed. And that's what I wanted to start the show with. What do you got?
What do I got?
What kind of wine are we drinking today?
Yeah, this is something that you brought. You're asking me?
I didn't read the label. I don't know. I just picked it up.
You just go to the store and say, give me that bottle. It's
green. It's got red wine in it, right? Okay, I'll take two of those.
It's Ripple. This is Genesis Hoag Cabernet Sauvignon from 2001, and it's got a great label. I think I'm going to take a picture of this label and put it on the site. It's really cool. Little cartoon character on the label.
Yeah, very cool. Fabulous Charisma. That's the name of the first Genesis
label. Oh, Charisma.
Label.
That's
yeah,
right.
The Fabulous Charisma label.
Yeah.
And there's a little guy on the Genesis record label, the band Genesis, that kind of reminds us of the little cute guy on this label. And this wine is called Genesis.
Yeah,
there
may have been some inspiration there. And I'm insisting on drinking this from the giant green head cup.
Which we'll have a photo of on the website, the tiki glasses. I didn't actually enjoy drinking out of the tiki glasses. It's more something appropriate for, I don't know, lemonade, iced tea.
Pina coladas. No, Rich is a snob. That's why he doesn't like drinking out of heads.
Yeah, so I'm a snob. Love you. Anyway.
He's wearing cashmere right now.
Yeah, in my silk sheets. Play some polo and do some fox hunting.
Fox hunting? Never mind.
So what's been in the news?
What's been in the news that's been ticking me off is...
Exactamundo.
This obscure character named Pat Robertson.
Right. I've heard of him. He's got like a TV channel. Speaking of wielding power and abusing his power.
And this is what is really irking me is the abuse of his power and how he's just spouting off. Now, Rich is urinating in a cup. The reason why we do this show, and one of the reasons why we do this show, is because we wanted to talk about free speech. And I think that Pat Robertson has every right in the world to be saying whatever he wants to say. But free speech doesn't mean that you don't get commentary on what you've said, or there are no consequences. No,
yeah, there are consequences for free speech, and one of them is going to be criticism.
Yes.
Potentially.
Yep, and this is going to be criticism. He has in the past said some very controversial things. And since we did our last show, Ariel Sharon has had a massive stroke, and he's been hospitalized and on his deathbed. And Pat Robertson has come out saying that this is basically his punishment for dividing God's land, quote unquote.
He was smote.
He was smote.
Smitten.
Smitten. Struck down by the
God.
Almighty One. Yes.
Mm. And if he were going to do it, first of all, if God were going to smite someone, why wouldn't he just, bam, done, gone, dead? Why kind of like give him a stroke that, and make him suffer for a couple of days? You know, if you want somebody dead, kill him.
Right.
And I'm not condoning or endorsing assassinations or anything here. I'm just
especially
saying,
from the Almighty One.
I'm saying if there were a God, okay, I'll leave it at that, where I stand on that. If there were a God and he were going to smite someone, get it over with. Bam.
Well, and the way I feel about it is if you're a God, and if you are God and you are trying to send a message, make it one that's not ambiguous.
Yeah, kill him and tattoo a sign on his forehead that said, I killed this guy because he divided the Holy Land.
Yeah, and I mean, he doesn't look like he's a guy in the peak of his health. I mean, he's generally orb-shaped. I mean, not to be kicking a guy while he's down. But
yeah, he's a large man. He's
a very large man, not healthy. He wasn't young either. He's fairly old, and he's having a stroke. This is not uncommon. This is a common thing. So to say that it's a message from God, I don't know. It's kind of ridiculous. So I just wanted to say that this isn't the first time Pat Robertson has said something like this.
Stupid?
Something stupid and something where he's actually, you know, acting like God himself. He's also said that he's also made a call for the assassination of Venezuelan President Hugo Chavez.
That wasn't all that long ago, actually.
Not all that long ago. And also not all that long ago, he linked Hurricane Katrina with being a response to legalized abortion, saying that it's punishment, again, from God for legalized abortion.
Well, and there was another group that did that as well.
Several groups talked about that. Yeah. But he was one of those who essentially... I don't think he came right out and said it, but I think he did say that, you know, you have to wonder why all these things are happening, and one of the reasons might be legalized abortion. And the reason why I'm bringing this up and the reason why I'm so kind of ticked off about this is because I, as a Christian, think that he defames Christianity. This guy is just on, I don't know, he's on tilt or off tilt.
I think you just think he's a nutcase.
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I think he's a Looney Tune, and I don't know. I think he's taking advantage of people that are impressionable
to say the least.
Well, I'm being kind here, and he's taking their money. He to some degree reminds me of the Wayne Newton character from the James Bond film, you know, License to Kill, where they were using this religious channel, fundraising channel, as a front for their drug operations. But Wayne Newton played a great sort of villain in this, playing the guy who goes on TV asking for money and pretending he's into God and all that stuff.
Right.
And, you know, deep down, I'm sure Robertson believes in God and in some way probably thinks he's doing right by abusing his power. But I just think he's a Looney Tune.
Well, he believes everything he's saying, and I fully believe that. I just think that what he's saying is ridiculous.
To use a modern phrase, he's a little off the hook.
Off the hook is generally used in a good way. Positive sense.
I know, but
he's not off the hook.
Prior to that phrase being, you know, in use,
he's out of control.
Yeah, he's just a nutcase. I mean, he just is. He's a Looney Tunes.
So, and I was gonna try to.
Wait a minute.
I was going to try to come up with some rant that was a little bit more eloquent than this, but I guess that the one person who said it well, and it's got some weight to it because he was a retired Episcopal bishop, and this is a response essentially to these things that Pat Robertson says, is, and these are some excerpts. He says, I wonder who, other than Pat himself, designated Pat Robertson to be God's spokesperson. How dare Pat assume that God revealed in the Jesus... I'm sorry. God assume that the God revealed in the Jesus that I serve is filled with all of Pat's peculiar prejudices. Pat needs to understand that he is acting out of the very meaning of idolatry. He has confused God with himself.
Yeah, I don't think it could be said any better than that.
Yep, and the next
one.
Yes. Yeah, and I don't necessarily agree with everything that John Shelby Spong says, but
This one he's right on with.
Well, he has a great name.
He's got a great name. He says, no one takes his thoughts seriously. Now, I don't necessarily agree with that. I think a lot of people take Pat Robertson's thoughts seriously. No one takes his thoughts seriously. It is a pity that some people do actually believe the things he says, but they are far fewer than he imagines. It is an even greater pity that the news media think that his continued utterances are worthy of any public attention at all. And that's another problem. People go running to Pat Robertson for a quote because they know it's going to make headlines.
Well, whether or not the media, even if the media didn't give him any coverage, he has his own channel.
Yeah, he does.
Is media. Yeah. You know, I mean, if CNN never quoted him again, it wouldn't matter because he's got a channel 24 hours a day that he can spout his awful, hateful things on.
Right, but he wouldn't be getting any new converts, I don't think. I think he'd be only speaking to the people who already believe him, you know?
Maybe, but then there's a lot of people flipping around the dial surfing going, hey, let's watch this channel for a while. Wow, he just said something I agree with, you know?
Yeah.
I think he would get some converts, and I don't know. Again, I just think he's a Looney Tune. I mean, Nobody should be listening to this guy.
Yep, so that's my deal. I'm just offended as a, like I said, I'm a Christian, whether you believe it or not. This guy just ticks me off because he really paints all Christians in a bad light.
Yeah, he does. He does. So we got a tune.
We have Tune Edge.
We've got a tune. It's really retro, too. It's got like a real, it's got a real like 1920s kind of roaring 20s vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a friends band from Santa Cruz, California called Euchanasia. And they're really cool because they do have ukulele in the band. My friend Dave plays guitar and sings rhythm guitar. They have Patty Maxine playing acoustic lap steel, Shirley Randolph playing baritone ukulele, Barbara Fuller playing tenor ukulele, and Charlotte Cole playing violin. And they're just really cool, and it's got a cool, you know, sort of really neat retro vibe, and check them out. Yeah.
That was swell.
That was hunky-dory.
That was the bee's knees, man.
And that was my friend Dave Egan singing. He's the only guy in the band, by the way. That was my friend Dave singing and playing acoustic rhythm guitar. And that song, because we forgot to mention it before we played it, was called After You've Gone, written in 1918, a real classic sort of roaring 20s feel to it.
Yeah, that's cool.
The only thing it was
makes
missing
you
was...
wear a flapper skirt.
It does. Well,
I mean, a lot of things make me want to wear flappers.
Right. I know. Well, how is that new? But what I love about that is, you know, normally when you hear music of that vintage, we expect to hear that, wah, 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 you know, that Al Jolson-y kind of crooning vocals and the real
muted cornet.
Yeah. And the sort of the old recording with the acetate record scratch and the real AM radio mid-rangey, you know, low, no treble, no bass EQ curve to it. And it almost sounds wrong being recorded, you know, with modern equipment and being presented like that. But it's really cool.
Yeah.
We'll link to their website, even though there's nothing there, because he said he's going to put something up at the euthanasia.com website pretty soon. But they're great. They're finishing a real CD, and they're going to send that to me, and we'll have lots of cool stuff to play from it.
And it's all going to be like that, kind of like that Leon Redbone kind of feel?
Totally. Yeah. I saw him at the Stanley about 20 years ago.
Did you?
Really cool. He opened for a comedian. I don't even remember which one, but, you know, really good stuff.
Yep.
So we're going to play a game.
Yeah. Santa Claus was a trickster this year, and he brought my daughter this little electronic game called 20 Questions. And I was just amazed at this thing. Essentially, it's just a little electronic gadget, and it reads out a whole bunch of questions.
And 20 of them, even.
And 20 of them. And it tries to guess what you're thinking. So you think of something, anything, and it asks you questions, yes, and you have to respond yes, no, unknown, or sometimes.
And this thing is the size of a yo-yo, by the way.
Yeah, it's about the size of a yo-yo. And I was just, again, I was amazed at how well it was able to guess some of the most obscure things that I've ever thought of. Within 20 questions, or sometimes within 25 or so questions. Because if you don't get it, or if it doesn't get it within 20, it asks a few more follow-on questions.
But that's cheating. I played this last week, and it didn't get my object till the 24th question. And then when it asked if it was right, and I clicked yes, it went, I won, I won. I started yelling at it. No, you didn't win. 20 questions, the 20 questions I played when I was a kid, you had to get it in 20 questions.
It should be called 20-something questions.
It cheats. Little thing. I'm mad at it already.
So what we're going to do, I mean, first I'm going to calm down Rich, hit him with a tranquilizer dart.
the wine is doing it.
Yeah, it's good wine,
this
by the way.
This is phenomenal. We really recommend this bottle. Phenomenal.
Yep. I was a little leery of it because as soon as I opened up the cap on the
hoozy.
The little metal sealer.
The foil thing.
The cork looked like it had leaked, but it didn't. It was good. So anyways, what we're going to do is we're going to think of something, and we're not cheating. We didn't think of something just to make this thing accurate. We didn't tell it what we were thinking either. We kept it in the other room while we were thinking of this thing.
Yep, we were. And John's going to leave it off we announce to you what the word is.
Yeah, so it's
and
sleeping.
We've come up with two. Tattoo, and we don't mean da plane. We don't mean that guy. We mean a body tattoo, a piece of artwork, or carburetor, an engine's carburetor. So, I don't know, carburetor. I like carburetor.
Let's do carburetor first.
We're going to do carburetor. So, in the spirit of the 1970s Alan Ludden TV game show, the password is carburetor.
Okay, I'm going to turn this thing on.
Does it make noise?
Yeah, it's going to make noise. It's got to make noise.
Aim it at the mic.
Put
it in front of the mic because it's off axis. You're getting...
There, you hear it?
Wow, that was impressive.
Okay, it's asking me, is it an animal?
No, a carburetor is not an animal.
Is it a vegetable?
I think not.
Mineral? It's not a mineral.
Well, it's metal.
Well, it's made of, but I mean, there's an other after this, so I'm going to say other. So, other, yes. Question number two.
Yes.
Is it flat?
Is it flat? I would say no. It's three-dimensional.
Is it hard?
Yes, I think it's hard. Whoa, it sounds excited.
Could it be found in a classroom? Well, if it's an auto shop.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, sure. Like Fonzie used to teach auto mechanics.
It's right. He had a beard then, too. Can you play with it? Nah, I would say
it probably
no.
means game, right? Yeah. So probably
well, I'm not,
no.
I'm not going to try to read into the question. I don't ever play with my carburetor. No.
I know guys who do, though. Play with your carburetor.
Can you put something into it?
Yeah, gasoline goes into
it. Yes, that would be a yes. One question seven. Would you give it as a gift?
I could.
I would never give that as a gift.
But does it mean potentially? And yeah, people probably, you know, I mean, I'm sure Jesse James likes carburetors for gifts.
I don't think he would like it as a gift. He'd want to pick his own carburetor. I'm going to say no to that. I wouldn't give that carburetor as a gift. That's a horrible gift.
Yeah, but the guy who works at National Auto working on his car probably...
I'll let you hold it next time and you can say no. I'm saying no this time.
Okay,
that's
fine.
Not a gift. Is it larger than a microwave oven?
Typically, no.
if it was maybe a Abrams tank, maybe, but I'm saying no. Oh, so now it's taunting me.
Oh, boy.
It says, you can't beat me. Question number 9.
How did it know that?
Is it made of metal? Uh-oh. It's okay. Narrowing in.
Yeah, okay. I think we can say yes confidently to that.
Yes. Question 10. Does it make sound?
Well, in the spirit of, I'm going to say no. Or I'm going to offer no.
And I agree. Can it be washed?
What can't?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you're cleaning out a car, yes. People clean out carburetors, yes.
Yeah, but what can, I mean, anything can be washed. I mean, so the answer is almost yes to that, no matter what.
A river can't be washed.
You could wash a river.
All right, here's the next question. Where is the next question? It's giving me these.
Did you crash it?
No.
Does that run Windows?
Can it fit in an envelope?
No.
Envelope. No, it cannot.
I'm going to say typically no.
Question 13. Is it round? No.
Probably not.
Question 14. Can you find it in a church?
Probably not.
Church of Chevrolet.
Well, the no. Church of Carburation, which is probably a place Jesse James does go.
Yes, I'm saying no.
He's a loyal servant to the Church of Carburation.
He's an altar boy.
Internal Combustion.
Does it get wet?
Hmm.
Sometimes, I'm going to say. Because there is a sometimes button on here.
Eh.
Internally? Yes.
Yeah, it gets kind of gassy.
I'm going to say sometimes. We're on 16.
Yeah.
Would you find it in an office? Again, that would be
probably
a no.
Not, yeah.
Unless it was a
Jesse James office.
Jesse James's office.
Or the guys from the TNN, or no, whatever, Spike TV, the guys who do those automobile shows.
Right.
Their office is littered with this kind of stuff.
Can you hold it?
Horsepower TV. Can you hold it? Absolutely.
Yeah. If it's out of the car.
Right. See, that's the one that's going to... Oh, okay, go ahead.
We're going to throw it. Is it outside?
Wow.
It's kind of like a metaphysical thing.
It's outside of the house, but it's inside the bonnet.
I'm going to say yes, it's outside, because I don't ever keep my carburetors inside.
Unless you're the guys from Horsepower TV or Jesse James. Or Jesse James.
Maybe Jesse James would be able to... Oh, it's taunting me again. It says, I can read you like a book.
Well,
question 19.
Who can't?
Do most people use this daily? Oh, yeah.
Well,
and then again, no, because most
cars
are
fuel injected now.
Right.
But I mean,
I'll say sometimes, because some people use it daily.
Yeah.
Question 20.
Uh-oh, we're there.
Is it a common household object? No. It is not a household object.
No,
at
it's
all.
Not a household object, unless you're the guys from Horsepower TV or Jesse James.
I'm thinking.
It's thinking. Okay.
You can do.
It's deliberating.
It says, I'm thinking you can do better.
Like it's our fault.
Wait, here's
right?
The guess. Tell me what it says.
It says carburetor. It actually does.
You're thinking of a carburetor.
It actually.
This thing is psychotic.
It's carburetor. Oh my God. In the shower today, I was thinking of the weirdest objects, and then carburetor came up, and the next one came up. That's just insane. This thing is
all right.
Possessed.
This thing is one for one.
All right, so I'm going to get to do one now?
Yeah, you can do this one. I'm thrown. I thought for sure it wasn't going to get that because we gave it the weird
It answers. Asks you the question, is it a carburetor? So I'm going to...
Yeah, that means that it won.
It says, that was easy. I won. I know you want to try again. Yes. Okay, and in the spirit of the TV game show Password, the password is tattoo. And we don't mean the short guy from Fantasy Island. We mean body art.
Yes.
Okay, so the first question is, repeat the question, please. Is it? I think it's ending with animal. So it must have asked, is it an animal? Tattoo is not an animal.
No, it's not an animal. Not even close.
Okay. Is it a vegetable?
Nope.
No. Is it a mineral?
Nope.
Tattoo? Oh, yeah, okay. Purely it's an object of some
kind. It's an arrangement of ink.
Yeah.
Under skin.
Other.
It's other.
Yes.
Let me guess. It's going to ask, is it flat?
Question 2. Oh, wait a minute. All those things count as one question.
Yeah. It's just trying to give what category it is.
Oh, I missed it. Is it flat.
It always asks that when you say other.
Okay, I guess we could say it's flat. Yeah? Would you agree?
Sometimes, depending on where it is on the body. It's usually curved.
But the surface is flat. I mean, it's not like a mountain range. Well, okay.
Again, you get the veto power. You're holding the device.
I'm going to say sometimes then. Question three. Do you use it at work? Do you use it at work? You don't really use it at work. But
I don't use it ever.
It's where you are. What do you think? No?
I'd say no.
Okay.
Unless you're a tattoo artist.
Is it heavier than a pound of butter?
No.
That's definitely a no. Question five. Is it straight? Sometimes.
I would say unknown.
All right, we'll say unknown to that. Yeah, but we do know. I mean, line art can be straight. It can be... I'm going to say sometimes.
Okay, sometimes is fair.
Question six. Would you give it as a gift?
Sometimes.
Yeah, that's the one we can say sometimes too. Question seven. The password is, can you get information by using it?
No.
I'm going to say no. Although some people do things that are not traditional artwork. You might look at it and learn something.
Then again, some people use tattoos as like gang.
Yeah.
Gang symbols. So if you were to see someone's tattoo, the information you'd be getting is which gang they're part of.
Yeah, leave me alone might be.
I'd say sometimes.
I'm going to say sometimes, yeah. Question eight. This possessed little yo-yo. Is it made from paper?
No.
No.
It didn't like that answer.
You're a smart one. Question nine. That's what it said to me.
See, it was taunting me and it's complimenting you.
Is it usually colorful? Oh boy.
Yes.
It hurt us. See, we forgot to turn it off when we gave the password.
Those
we
other questions yes were just to throw us off. Yes.
Yep. Question 10. See, now it knows. Already it knows this silly little thing. Can it bend without breaking?
Yes.
Yeah. Question 11. Is it hard?
No.
I'm going to say no.
That's a definite no.
Can it be washed?
Yeah.
Yes.
It should be.
Can it cheer you up? Sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah. I know all of my tattoos cheer me up.
Absolutely. Is it smaller than a loaf of bread?
Sometimes. I mean, I've seen people with tattoos bigger than a Chevrolet.
Back work is typically really big. Question 15. Do you hold it when you use it? No. You don't hold it. You don't put your hand on it. No. Question 16. Can you put something into it? No. No, it's definitely no. Ooh. I can't believe you are thinking of that.
There, it's taunting you.
It's the taunting. Question 17. Could it be found in a classroom? Sometimes.
Yeah, of course. Anything that's on a body can be found in a classroom, of course.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'm going to say sometimes.
Okay, sometimes.
And by the way, this has a little scrolling screen. These questions, you know, go right to left. Would you find it in an office?
Sometimes.
Sometimes. Question 19. Is it a common household object?
No.
Okay, I'm going to say no. Question 20, it's the moment of truth. Can you play with it?
Depends on where the tattoo is.
Yeah. But you're not really playing with the tattoo.
No, that's right.
I'm going to say no to this one.
Yeah. All right, I think it's got your number.
I think the colorful one. I'm thinking you win. Just joking. That's actually what it said. Is it a necktie?
Let's think about this. How does a necktie relate to a tattoo? It's something that you wear on your body that is colorful.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, it's close.
Okay, I just want you to know, Mr. Possessed Satanic Yo-Yo, that you lose. But I'm going to say no, it's going to ask me more questions. Is it a necktie?
No.
No. Question 21. Is it a synthetic material?
No.
I have no idea what the inks are, but
I think they're soy-based. Yeah.
I'm going to say no. Question 22. Can it fit in an envelope? Ooh, that would be a gruesome thing. Cut off somebody, flap of somebody's skin.
It would be like a mob retribution kind of thing.
I'm going to say no to this. No. Just the alternative is just unthinkable. Question 23. Does it have writing on it?
Sometimes. Yes.
That's definitely a sometimes.
Usually it says mom.
Question 24, a heart. Do you use it in your home?
No. No, I don't use it.
No, it's not something you use.
I only use when I go on like drive-bys.
Question, yes, very good. Question 25, is it something you bring along? Well, by
absolutely,
definition,
yeah. Yes. It's not going anywhere without me.
I'm thinking, dot, 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 there's an ellipsis there. I will guess, it's taunting me, the I will guess again thing is jiggling all around the screen, just crazy, silly whack. Is it a tattoo?
It guessed it?
Yeah, is it a tattoo? There it is.
Yep.
I'm going to say yes, and it's going to think it won. Listen.
That's
see?
The I won sound.
I win. Sorry, my possessed little friend. You don't win. Do you want to try again? No.
No.
And it turned itself off. So it didn't get it in 20 questions, but it's a pretty cool little game.
Yeah.
And like when you were, before you bought it, you saw there was a guy talking to himself at the store, wasn't
That's
there?
That's exactly the story. Santa was at the store, and he was looking at other gifts for other children. And I saw this guy standing there going, no way. There's no way it guessed that. And I said, what are you looking at? He showed me this thing. And I said, wow, that's messed up. So I think I tried
That's crazy silly whack,
That's
dude.
Crazy silly whack, dude. So I tried it out myself. And here's how odd it was. This was, again, going back to the my dog. I was thinking of my dog at that time. And it guessed, you're thinking of a Labrador Retriever. It didn't just say you're thinking of a dog. It got the actual breed correctly. So I said, I'm buying this thing. This is great.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, there's a huge database in there. I don't know what it's doing.
We were deconstructing how it's not as hard to build this as you would think.
Yeah,
it just requires,
we want to believe that it's not possessed.
I know, we want to believe it's not smart, but I'd rather believe it is smart, so we won't talk about it. But we got another tune.
We do.
What's this one? This one is that little bluegrass band we played, I don't know, 2 months ago or so, called, the band is The Badly Bent, and this song is called Spinning Wheel. Put your lighter away, John. I know you like bluegrass, but no need to start the house on fire.
No, I'm holding up my 20 questions orb.
Did you play a game while the music was playing?
I was playing a little game. It didn't finish. It's asking me a ridiculous question, and I refuse to answer it because it knows me.
Well, it can read you like a book.
That's right.
Quick film review. Saw a film at the MWPAI.org.
You're giving them way too much.
I know, and please don't forget to email bmortis at MWPAI.org or rmortis, R-M-O-R-T-I-S.
Does he have a law firm with a guy named Tenen?
I don't know. Mortis and Tenen.
There you go.
Yeah, that's funny.
Ha.
They're accountants. Anyway, saw a film, Spanish film called Crimen Perfecto, which is just a little twist on Crimen Perfecto, The Perfect Crime, film by Alex de la Iglesia. And this is a dark comedy, wickedly funny black comedy thriller. And it's about, the main character is Rafael, played by Guillermo Toledo.
Where's it from?
Spain.
Spain.
Yeah, and he is like a department manager at a department store, and he loves the ladies.
He's
and
a ladies man.
He's trying not to be common and normal. You know, he dresses very well when he goes to work, and he puts up a big front. And his goal is to be floor manager of the department store, because that entitles him to stock options and all kinds of extra stuff, all kinds of extra power and money. And he's in competition for floor manager with another department manager, played by Luis Varela, who plays Don Antonio. The great Don Antonio. And in any case, what ends up happening is it's the last day of the month, and whoever sells more money and can cash out more receipts that month gets to be floor manager. And they're really close. But the main character, Rafael, is behind by like $5,000. And like 10 minutes before the store closes, he sees a woman looking at fur coats. So he goes over there and plays her big time and gets her to buy the coat. And he's all cocky, like, I won, because it was a really expensive coat. And then Monday rolls around and they're giving the job to Don Antonio because the check bounced.
Ugh.
Fur coat lady's check bounced. So the first thing Don Antonio does, since he's floor manager, is fire Rafael.
Ugh.
Isn't that horrible?
He's a bad, bad man.
He's a bad, bad man. And then they get into a little bit of a fight. And then you know what happens.
Murder.
Not really. Rafael, I don't think he meant to kill the guy. But in the heat of the moment, you know, one thing leads to another. And he hangs him by his head on a hook. And it, you know, just kills the guy. And then the fun ensues. It's a comedy of errors. And all kinds of things go wrong. All kinds of things go right. There's a scene in the movie, talk about dark, where he's trying to dispose of the body. And he realizes it's not going to fit into the thing he's putting it into. So he needs to make the body smaller. So he goes up to the...
Is he looking for things to chop the body up with?
Yeah, he goes up to the kitchen section. And he comes down with the biggest meat cleaver I've ever seen in my life. And it doesn't get translated. It's a Spanish film, so it's subtitled in English. It doesn't get translated to meat cleaver. It gets translated to machete or something like that. But, I mean, this meat cleaver was gigantic, you know? And anyway, he gets down into the basement, and guess what?
I'm not guessing.
The body's gone. So now a third party knows about the murder. And, of course, this person ultimately admits it to him, and he has to kind of give in to the whims of this person. Lest they call the police.
Policia.
And it's a terrifically funny, terribly black. I mean, they make jokes about stuff that in other films would be totally inappropriate. But it's a terribly, terribly funny film, and I really recommend it. I'm not going to give away any more than that. But, I mean, I had some good laugh-out-loud belly laughs, and I don't do that frequently. You know, Robin Williams can sometimes do that to me, but this film was wonderful. So anyway, Crimen Perfecto, 2004 film by Alex de la Iglesia.
Yeah, I'm going to put that on my queue.
It's really good.
You've got on the giant whiteboard of truth, or the plentiful placard of prophecy. You've got a note here.
It says
quick
female
bitch. Dog.
Quick bitch. Yeah. A lot of people like to make lawyer jokes, and I'm not here to defend lawyers, right?
But I love to make lawyer jokes. I've got a couple. Should I say them?
No, let's wait till next time. But what I want to know, and this was inspired by a film I saw yesterday with the Good Will Hunting guy and the submarine commander, Matt Damon and
Roy Scheider.
Yeah. And Roy Scheider was playing the bad guy, and Matt Damon was playing the good lawyer going after him. And at one point in the film, Matt Damon said, I really have to be careful as a lawyer, because if I do the wrong thing, I go from being a lawyer to an ambulance chaser. And I'm thinking to myself, but why do people look upon lawyers who go after the quick money as bad? There are people in business who do that every day. Mm-hmm. Let's look at the Enron scandal, whatever. You know, guys, and granted, those guys are going to trial and they're being lambasted a little bit by the media. But, I mean, it's a pretty common practice to practice business in a mercenary fashion. But for some reason, businessmen can fall back on the excuse, well, it wasn't personal, it was business. Right? Business is business. They fall back on that excuse. And suddenly it's okay for a businessman to go after the quick money and perhaps by doing illegal or unethical, or let's change the order, unethical or sometimes illegal things. But if a lawyer, you know, goes after the big lawsuit case to put a little bit of jingle in his pocket, suddenly they're evil bastards. What's going on with that?
Well, that's because, I mean, this is no huge secret. If you're looking at like a salesperson, the purpose of that job is to make sales and to make money. The purpose of someone who's a manufacturer is to make something, sell it to make money. The premise of practicing law that, you know, most people think is represent someone and to uphold the law in an altruistic kind of way, forget the money.
Where is that written? I thought you just defined the purpose of practicing law. The purpose of a lawyer is to practice law. So let's call the purpose of a lawyer to practice law.
Right.
Well, guess what? Accident law is a kind of law too. And not that I'm defending these guys. I'm just talking about this in the abstract. I mean, this is just an exercise. But I just don't, you know, a businessman can take away somebody's pension, put other competitors out of business, laugh about it, and it's business because business is business. It wasn't personal, it was business. Suddenly a lawyer wants to make some money, it's a bad thing. I don't know. Yeah, it's not consistent.
I'm not going to defend... First off, I'm not going to defend people who are horrible and unethical manufacturers or salespeople.
No, we're not here to defend anyone.
Yeah, and we're not defending anyone. We're just lambasting them. No, and I certainly think that lawyers who have, I don't know, questionable ethics, they're in the same league. The only problem is lawyers are I guess perceived to be people who shouldn't have those kinds of things because they're supposed to be upholding the law. They're supposed to be in a sense, enforcing the law, making sure that...
Now, that's the job of the judicial branch. Well, they're not a part of the judicial branch.
They're making sure that the system sticks to the law.
One would hope, at the very least. But I mean, you know...
But by doing things like maybe manufacturing a case, they're, in a sense, twisting law and breaking the law. So it's an oxymoron.
And there are plenty of people who, in this world, who go to medical school to make money when they get out, not to help people.
Right.
So why is this any different? Just something for you all to think about today.
I don't know. I guess if someone went to medical school to make money, it's not the same kind of thing. I think it would be the same kind of analogy would be if someone went to medical school to horribly disfigure people.
I don't think accident lawyers are horrible. I don't think that's a fair
analog.
They're
twisting the law in the same way that people are twisting flesh.
Not always. They're just defending people. And
I'm not saying they are always. I'm just saying that the people who are the bad apples that have made a bad name for lawyers are the ones who have twisted the law. They've manufactured cases.
But I'm willing to bet that there are doctors out there who go to medical school only because they know it can be a cash cow.
Yeah.
They don't care about people. John's dad is not one of them. John's dad ran a family practice, by the way, and you could pay him in chickens and it would have been okay. And I've seen people do that, by the way.
I wouldn't have eaten them, though.
He had a little country office. And I thought you were going to eat some of those super hot potato chips.
Oh, I might do this before the show ends because if I have one of them, I'm not speaking anymore.
Okay. Well, anyway, I guess we got nothing else, do we?
Yeah, we got nothing else. And as the klaxons go, I'm going to try one of these chips.
Yeah, do it. What's that about?
It's a Star Trek klaxon.
Yeah, we changed it.
I got these chips. A friend of mine gave them to me. They're habanero potato chips. They are Blair's Death Rain.
These things are like, they're possessed just like that little orb is.
Yeah, so I'm going to eat one of these things, and you'll probably not hear from me for another week.
Remember, you can check out the blog at www.bloodyveg.com.
That's all I'm saying.
And you can email us feedback at bloodyveg.com. All kinds of feedback. We'd like to get another piece of audio feedback. Want to thank Martin from writingsonthewall.net for sending us some nice email. Check out his blog, too. And remember, you're listening to VIB.